Golden Days by Carolyn C., 1986. A pre-publication press release for Golden Days tells us that, against a sharply satirical background of the California lifestyle, the heroine comes to Sun and Fun Country, where she meets the end of everything. In its perfect obtuseness, this publisher's description shows what West Coast writers keep running up against. A wall. The wall Easterners build in their minds to separate reality from California. When they come to live in California, they leave the wall standing and float around in their swimming pool reading the Wall Street Journal and saying, "Man, this is unreal." Some of them have based whole novels on this insight. The material of Carolyn C.'s novel is a lot more interesting than that, but I have to wonder if anybody east of Barstow is going to be willing to see it. The point is, she is writing as a Californian. The novel's narrator doesn't come to Sun and Fun Country, some vacation land motel strip. She comes home. She was born there. It's where she lives. It's her country. And it's real. There's a lovely chapter, just before the nuclear war starts, about carless, careless teenage girls walking in Los Angeles in the 50s. Nobody walks in Los Angeles. Everybody in New York knows that. Where did those girls walk? They walked for miles in the center of the city. They walked northeast and down a long, sweet incline to where Griffith Park Boulevard and Los Feliz and Fletcher Drive met. They walked the old streets, Hyperion, over to Vermont, stopping at the grocery store at Sunset and Hollywood Boulevard, walking the width of the town they knew over to La Brea, and then another long, long walk home. The streets are named for the love of saying their names. The girls walk in love. There is a sharply satirical note in the book, all right, but it isn't for California. It's for Wall Street and D.C. and their lifestyle, for the corridors of power and the men who strut in them. If women are opposite to men, Carolyn C. proposes, and California, with its easy money and easy ways, was opposite to the fierce, demanding East, and on this questioningly poised opposition, she balances her extraordinary book. I had heard all my life that California was irrational. How could I dare say that it was not? But as a woman, and having seen all my adult life, grim-lipped men jerking at their missiles, having seen their aimless, horrid rage when the stuff dripped out of them, having that, as I say, designated by default as rational, I suppose there was a conspiracy of brain cells on my part to say that maybe there was something else. Death's opposite. So she offers California as life. Reality as California. This is a soundly, sweetly anti-Puritan novel. It is also quite funny and takes incredible risks and gets away with at least half of them. We are so well supplied at present with fiction that takes no risks at all. Bone-dry minimalism, tough, lean, hard, all the euphemisms that mean safe, that there may be readers yearning for some juice and pizzazz, some literary hang gliding over Topanga Canyon. They'll like Golden Days. For all its glib, wise guy tone, this is a juicy, soft, and tender book. The strength of its feminism enables it to take the risk of being vulnerable. It isn't safe, but it's fearless. A serious novel that has World War III about three-quarters of the way through its plot, and lets the heroine live through its hideous afterdays happily. That book isn't playing safe. Over the past 40 years, plenty of after-the-bomb stories have been written. The premise of many is that war purifies, radiation cleans, the tough survive. The lean, the hard, the minimalists, the real men, Puritans, safe and saved, rebuild law and order on the glowing ruins after eliminating the eight-fingered gibbering muties. Carolyn C. takes this old sack of macho and dumps it. On the whole, they say, people got what they expected, says the narrator. Not what they deserved, just what they expected. When the bombs fell, the generals and the military were very hard hit. A certain kind of women and children were devastated. The ones I knew who lived were the ones who had been making love, or napping, or fixing dinner. The ones far out windsurfing who dove beneath the waves and felt the whole Pacific turn warm. Making love, not war. A fairy tale? Of course. People get what they expect. Those who expect to end crammed in a bomb shelter shooting it out with the commies, the muties, or the Joneses may do so. That's their fairy tale. Carolyn C. has the artist's right to endow a greater expectation with the authority of imagination. Her vision has a crazy majesty, the whole Pacific turning warm. It has a stinging exactness, the word devastated, the words far out. If her tale is that love, not hate, is what lives, this is a pretty good time to be telling and hearing that tale. The sophistication of thought in the novel is considerable, cool, and Californian. The rigid European fixation of much East Coast thinking doesn't encompass the real East at all. Concepts such as Satyagraha and Wu Wei, barely mentioned but structurally essential to the book, may be invisible to readers to whom they're just foreign words, something they do out west, or maybe in Selma. No harm in that, unless it leaves the book underestimated by critics who should know better. It is a fast, flip, funny read, a good summer book. It's also something more, and deserves notice. Trying to write nonviolently about the ultimate act of violence, C. bases her novel in very old nonviolent traditions. Writing as a woman about a man's world, she grounds her anger in feminine solidarity and human kindness. On these firm foundations in the California earth, she has built a Watts Tower of a book, fragile, brilliant, and surprising.